cup the Lord gave me for us today is the day of the Lord. We look at the things that are happening around us. We can feel that the day of the Lord is soon to come. But I'm thankful that the Lord, even though no one knows the day of the Lord when he's coming, not the angels in heaven, not even Jesus, only God only knows the day of the Lord. And yet, he didn't, and it will be a surprise, so to speak, because no one will know when exactly, but he did not leave us totally lost as to when he came, is coming, because he left us with signs and things that we could know that he's coming soon. It's not for those that are not prepared. It's a dreadful day. But for those that are prepared, God will help through that time, and it will be a day of redemption. Let's go to Joel 2:1. I'm going to need you to read for me.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand.
Yes. So the day of the Lord is going to come, and it's nigh at hand. Now this is way back before Jesus' time, and yet it's nigh. And we want to be ready. The thing is, he gives us understanding of what to expect in the day of the Lord. He gives us signs of that his day is nigh at hand. And he also gives us one to be prepared. And so we want to be prepared for the day of the Lord. And to be prepared, we are going to need to adhere to what he thus says the Lord in his word, what he tells us to do and not to do. If we obey his word, we don't have to fear the day of the Lord. But it will be a dreadful day for those that ignore him and go about life without making preparation. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and read verses 1 through 4.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day to overtake you as a thief.
You see, when you are in the light, when you are following God, when you are doing what he wants you to do, that day should not come upon you unaware. It should not come upon you as a thief. But for those that are not willing to give their heart to God and not willing to do the things that God tells them, it's going to come as a thief in the night. And you know that no thief wants the person to know they're coming. One scripture says that if the good man of the house should have known when the thief come, he would have been prepared for something like that, and he wouldn't have suffered the loss. I don't know the exact words, but that's it. If you know the thief is coming, you're going to prepare, and you're not going to have to suffer loss. But the same way with the coming of the Lord, The reason we need to have a vision of the day of the Lord is so that it will affect how we live and what we do. We will live careful before God if we know that the day of the Lord comes. We'll not be satisfied to just do our own thing and go our own way and have things the way we want to have it, but we want to make sure that we are doing God's will. It's very, very important. Sometimes people, if they're young, like you girls are young, they feel like, well, I got plenty of time, so I'll kind of, you know, I'll put that off till later. But it's not a wise thing, because in our times, we don't really know. It's going to catch people unaware. It's going to be like that thief in the night. Maybe young or old, it won't matter. It's going to catch everyone. So we need to be, to know. We have signs right now in the times that we're living in that lets us know that the day of the Lord is soon to come. So we should live each day as if he was coming that day. And sometimes people say, well, when is the day of his coming? I've heard he's coming. And they get careless. And they get negligent. And they don't really realize how serious it is. Life is very serious. No matter young or old, it's very serious. Malachi 4 and 5.
Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
I meant it's the last book for those that's looking for it. Okay, so it says, I will send you Elijah. What it's talking about, I think in that scripture was really John the Baptist, I believe, was the Elijah that's referred to. But anyway, before the great day of the Lord, he sent Elijah, the person that he's talking about there, to prepare you, to prepare us. John the Baptist prepared the hearts of the people before Jesus came. But before the dreadful day of the Lord, he's sending help. I recognize that even today, when we're in the gospel day, he's sending his word before the dreadful day of the Lord. It's no excuse for it to come upon us unaware, because he's preparing us. All we have to do is listen and follow him and do what he says to do. It's not really a time of foolishness. People waste a lot of time with foolishness. It's not a time to just do, like I said, do our own thing, but we have to make every moment count. Every day, make your moments count for the Lord. If we have a vivid picture of what the dreadful day of the Lord shall come, it'll put a seriousness on us. I grew up kind of being a serious person from a child. And I remember my oldest sister saying to me, Doris, even your play was serious, or other words, you were very careful about life. Even if I had fun like other people, I was serious. I remember one time I was trying to fool my brother. You know, I say, I'm going to dress up in my dad's pants. You know how kids have things. I was going to dress up and try to act like. But you know what happened? I didn't get to do that because the Lord smote my conscience. I had to get out of those things. And I could not do it. I had that kind of attitude toward life, a serious attitude. Even when you're young, you can play, you can enjoy things, but then you have to have in your mind that the Lord is coming. So I must be prepared. I cannot just say anything I want to say. I cannot just do anything I want to do. I have to be careful because the day of the Lord comes. And it's not his will that it comes up on us unaware. But you know, there are things that distract people today. And sometimes I look at some of the, for instance, the games that they have the children to play, violence and a bunch of foolishness and all these, what do you call it? They look like the devil. They look so evil. Images of characters, all the little characters. All this stuff the devil is putting in people's mind to distract them from being prepared, from doing God's will. And, you know, people get, the young people, they get so involved in these games, they can't break them, or it's hard to break them away from them. It's spending so much time doing nonsense, things of no value, things that's not going to help in your life or in your spiritual walk with God. And so we have to be careful. We need to make our time count. We don't need to waste our time with foolishness. Luke 21 and 34. Older people have other things. Maybe they're not so into games or stuff like that, but they're into other things. The television. The television is a very, a lot of evilness on it, and a lot of things that draw people's minds away from the things of God. But not only so, people get involved in just the normal things of life, and they don't take time for God. We need to take time for God. We don't need to allow ourselves to get caught up in so many things, buying and selling. And we have to do these things to a point, but we don't want to let it take up so much of our time that we don't have time for God.
And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with self-pitying and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unaware.
Even with the things that we need food, right? We need clothes, we need to work. Those are things that are necessary, but we don't want to become overcharged with it. If you remember in the scripture where Martha and Mary sat at Jesus' feet, but Martha was so overcharged with serving. She took even the attitude, don't you care that she's not helping me? Something like that. You see, we can get overcharged. We can get where we put aside the things of God because I gotta work, and I gotta go shopping, and I gotta do this and I gotta do that, and we do have to do those things. But we don't want to allow them to take up too much of our time and too much to where we don't have time for the Lord. Well, I can't go to church tonight because I gotta go shopping. I gotta go get groceries. That kind of thing. Or sometimes we have, in Guthrie, we have noonday prayer. Can we stop, take time, and go and have prayer together? We don't want to be overcharged. This scripture says we're surfeiting. Surfeiting is excess. Excess, I'm sorry. Something we just do more of than we need to. I could decide I'm going to have a dinner and invite people over, and I can do it to an excess. I'm staying up all night, two or three nights, trying to get ready for it. I'm doing this and doing that. But let's not allow whatever we're doing in this life to overcharge us to where we're, and it says drunkenness, but it says in the cares of this life. I'm so concerned about this and so concerned about that, and God is kind of on the back burner because I got to do this. I got to take care of my grands. I got to take them to the, some of them might be into football. I got to take them to football. So I'm not going to church tonight because my grandson has a football game. I'm just giving you examples. I'm not throwing anything out on anybody. But the things that can cause us to be overcharged, overindulged, just too much. We don't want to do that. So Jesus warned us of the day of the Lord. Let's read some scriptures to help us to see what the day of the Lord is like. Let's go to Matthew 24. And we're going to read 29 through 44. He warned us of it, but he did it for a purpose. His purpose is that we will be prepared, that we won't be caught off guard, that it won't come upon us and we're not ready. We need to be ready. How are we going to be ready? We have to give our hearts to the Lord first to be ready. And once we give our heart to the Lord, then we need to stay ready. We need to daily put God first. First thing we do in the morning, let's read our Bible and pray and let our communion go up to God first. And then put the other things afterwards. All right, on verse 29.
Immediately after the tribulation, and those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
You see, wait a minute. This would be a dreadful time. What do you think it would feel like? That the sun no longer shines, the moon doesn't shine, be darkened, and the stars start falling from the sky. That's a dreadful time. And it will be no time to prepare. We have to be prepared now because it's coming. You know, we don't know when, but it seems very soon. Read on, please.
And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
The tribes of the earth shall mourn. That's no time for play anymore. It's no time for laughter and foolishness anymore. It's a serious time. When this thing wraps up, it's going to be serious. Read on.
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other.
We want to make sure that we are his elect. Not that we're better than anybody, but because we have accepted his salvation, we become his elect. We don't have to fear of that time. I used to think of this. It is a dreadful time, But I used to think before I was studying this time, I had such a feeling about, I had one person I know that actually want to be on the earth when this comes. And I'm thinking, I don't think I want to see all that. Because I'm thinking, you know, of what others, not myself, but others, and how they would feel. But the Lord helped me as I began to study and do my study on this. He helped me to see it from a different light. So those that are ready, his elect, the angels are going to gather them all from the four corners of the earth. That is not a grievous time for the elect, but it is a grievous time for those that are not ready. Read on, please.
Now I'm on a parable of the fig tree. When his breath is yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is nearer, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Yes. So we don't know what, I don't know what he means about this generation, but I know that the time is coming and these things will be fulfilled and we need to be prepared. Read on to 44.
36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Okay, stop just a minute. You see how when Noah, he warned them, some people say 120 years, some say 100 years, but however long it was, he was building that ark, saying it's going to be a flood. People ignored him. They just probably thought he was silly, an old man just preaching something that's not going to happen. It's never even rained or any of those things. And so they just went on with eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It's not to say that we can't marry. It's not to say that we can't eat or drink as long as we're not drinking alcoholic things. But what it is to say, you do this with a watchfulness and a consciousness, knowing that even though I'm doing all these things, God is coming back. The day of the Lord is coming. And so these people, they ignored all the warnings. And then they were doing all these until the very day that Noah entered the ark. It seems to me that the people, when they saw all of those animals going into that, marching into that ark, should have been something to say to them, you know what? This is something is serious. Maybe I need to get in this line behind these animals. Something is going to happen. It should have been a great warning right in their face, but they ignored it. Go on, read.
Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if a good man of the house had known in that which and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Just in the time, you may not have the least clue that he's coming. He comes. So we need to be ready. And this is the scripture I was trying to refer to earlier. If the watchman of the house had known, the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come. In other words, if you knew the thief was coming at 12 o'clock, you're going to be prepared. Same with the day of the coming of the Lord. We don't know when he's coming, but we need to prepare. Let's go to Mark 13 and read verses 26 and 27. I cannot hardly read these scriptures without having a certain amount of reverence, godly fear, and trembling, because this is coming and we want to be ready. I want to be sure. Like they were talking about Brother Wall in the funeral yesterday. And I don't know if it was in the at the gravesite or not, but they mentioned that he had started fasting and prayer for a period of time, searching himself, Lord, making sure that everything was right with him. And yeah, I had utmost confidence in him, but it's a serious thing to face God. And we want to make sure that we're ready. Anybody get that? 13?
Mark 13 and 27.
26 and 27.
And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven.
Yes. So we're going to see Jesus coming with great power. It's going to be a very serious time. Isaiah 13 and 6. So the reason we have all this is so that we won't wait too late, that we will be prepared. And when is the time to prepare? Prepare. Now is the accepted time, in one scripture. Today is the day of salvation. We can't afford to put it off. When it comes to the things of matters of our soul, we need to take care of that. Sometime the Lord will deal with me about something, and I realize I must do this now. I must take care of this now. Don't put it off. Because you know, when you put it off, it's easy to say, to really not to feel so bad about it. For instance, if I feel like I spoke a little harsh, Lord said, put it on me. I start praying and it coming up before my face. I feel like I need to take this care of this now, not wait till tomorrow. If I wait till tomorrow, it might not seem so bad. That's the way the devil works, you know. He'll make it not seem so bad. You won't have that urgency. But when the Lord deals with us, we need to do it now. If he tell you, you shouldn't have spoke like that, or you shouldn't have said that word, or you shouldn't have gone this way or done that, you know what? When I think about Saul, King Saul, I sometimes wonder how he knew exactly what God wanted him to do, but he didn't. He did it another way. And then when Samuel came to him, he says, I performed the commandment of the Lord, and he knew he had done wrong. And then when Samuel said to him, well, what means the bleeding of the sheep, I hear, or something like that. Then he started putting it on somebody, well, the people, you know. And finally, after he just couldn't get out of it, he said, I've done wrong. But he tried to make an excuse. And I think about this sometime and I say, how in the world he's going to think that he did wrong right when he did wrong? And it comes to my mind that he deceived himself by not doing God's will. God can tell you to go somewhere and you don't do it, or not to go somewhere and you go. And you know what? If you're not careful, the devil will deceive you. Say, well, that was okay. You didn't need to do it that way. Or maybe say, well, maybe that wasn't the Lord told you. All those things. So that's why it's important to use when the Lord deal with us. Do it now. Let's read on.
Isaiah 13:6. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty.
How? That means it's kind of like sounding a trumpet or saying something real loud and getting people's attention. How you? Well, the day of the Lord is coming. We need to sound the alarm. Maybe not a trumpet, but we can tell the day of the Lord is coming. Do you remember Sister Lizzie Jordan?
Yes.
What was that she used to say all the time? It was something like that. She had a saying, like warning, kind of like warning you, the Lord is coming. I don't remember the exact words, but that's what we need to do. We need to, we can't just do it on our own, but the Lord can give us wisdom just how to sound the alarm. Tell, like for instance, when I work with my grandchildren, if they do something or start in a way that I know that'll lead them down, I have to speak to them. I can't just let them go down the wrong path without saying something. So that's what we need to do. Sound the alarm. Tell people. Let them know. You know, God's not pleased with that. The day of the Lord, the Lord's coming back. And we want to be ready. 2 Peter 3:12.
2 Peter 3:12. Looking for and hasten unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
What do you think that's going to be? Very serious. I think I should have gone up a little bit. What is that, 11?
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved.
Yeah, let's go.
What manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Yes. So you see, these things are going to pass away. But it's very important that we do the right thing. What manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? I'm going to read verse 8. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens, being on fire, which the heavens shall pass away, with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So that is serious. That is a time of great grief for people that are not ready. And then he says, seeing that all these things going to be dissolved, what manner of person are we to be? It surely puts a carefulness in us. and helps us that we'll be ready. Let's go to Revelation 6 and 15 to 17.
Revelation 6 and 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the fountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
People are going to be calling for the rocks and to the mountains to hide them from God, because the great day of the Lord shall come, and who shall be able to stand? But you know what? We don't have to. This is serious. I want to think of how you guys may not know about a game people play called Russian roulette. Have you heard of that? What are they doing?
They're taking a big chance.
They have a gun, and it has like one bullet in it, and they spin it, and they point it to themselves, and they take a chance that it won't, that the one bullet in there won't kill them. But to take a chance in not living for God and, you know, being careless about the things of God is like playing Russian roulette. People have lost their lives doing it. It's a game. It's a game. It's like somebody say, I dare you to pull the trigger, and they take the dare. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to play Russian roulette with our souls. We need to take time right now while we have time and see about the matters of our soul. But after I was reading these scriptures in my heart, I was very stirred, and how that we need to be careful, and how that we need to be prepared. I read a scripture in Job that gave me great consolation, because through all of these warnings, they are serious. Jesus wants us to realize the seriousness of it, but he also has long suffering. That scripture we read, I think earlier, it says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come in repentance. Let me see if I can find that scripture. God loves us, and he cares for us. That's why he warns us. It's just like a parent. He'll tell, sometime, I remember when my daughter was a teenager, I think, and she had her ideas, your mom, what she wanted to do. And she told me, she said, Mom, you're too protective. But I was doing it because I could see things she couldn't see. It's just like God is the same way with us. He's trying to get us ready for the great day of the Lord, that we will not perish, and that all should come to repentance. That's what the scripture says. Let's go to Psalms 86 and 15.
It says, but now, O Lord, our God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth.
Yes, he is. He's greatly, he has mercy. That's why He wants us. And that's why I was trying to protect her, because things that she didn't realize, I could realize. And it even starts when the children are real young. You know, the little child, they don't know danger like we do. And they might run out in the street and we tell them, look both ways. Somebody's been working with Zoe 6. So I was getting ready the other, last time I was with her, taking her across the, it might have been from a store to the car, but she says, we got to look both ways. Somebody's been teaching her. She wasn't willing to go out in that street, but that's because someone has been watching and telling her, you can't just walk out in the street. You have to look both ways. The same way with the Lord. He's doing all that he can, preparing us and taking care of us that we don't, that day doesn't come upon us unaware. James 5:7. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. That is God. He has not brought this world into judgment because of his long suffering and patience, because he doesn't, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm not sure of this last scripture that I was getting ready to read, but I want us to read the one in Job. It says 19:25-27. So we that are saved, we don't have to fear that day. That day can be a day of expectation, redemption, and hope. The day of the Lord doesn't have to be a fearful day for us, because we have listened to his voice, we have obeyed him, and we're trying to do all we can to please him. Job 19:25-27.
Job 19:25. Mm-hmm. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Through my veins be consumed within me.
Encouragement that Job had. So he was looking for the day of the Lord, but he wasn't looking with dread. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't thinking that he was going to have to call for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon him and hide him from the face of God Almighty. He was looking forward to it. If we live for God, we can have, it doesn't have to be a day of dread. It can be a day that we're expecting his coming, that we know he's going to redeem us. He's going to bring us from this earth and all his troubles and problems and take us to heaven. You remember the scriptures that said he will gather his people from the four corners. The angels will gather his people from the four corners of the earth. And so let's be encouraged to do all we can. Put God first. Do the things that he tells us to do. Give our heart to God if we're not saved now, while we have an opportunity. And then we don't have to look at that time with dread. Pray for me.